The scripture text for this morning is one I have selected for several reasons, and it is one which I believe goes very well with the sermon topic this morning, which is a question. What kind of lovers are we? By recounting for this church in Thessalonica how he, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, first came to these people. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please people, but to please God who tests our heart. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a pretext towards greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from the church or others, though we might have made demands on you as apostles of Christ, but, and listen to the love, you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. You remember our labor and our toil, brothers and sisters. We work night and day so that we won't be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure and upright and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his own children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you might lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not just as a human word, which is, because you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the church of God in Christ Jesus. Thanks be unto God. What kind of lovers are we? What kind of a question is that for a American Baptist home missionary to ask of us on this Sunday morning? In fact, it's not even Valentine's. It's not even Thanksgiving. But I ask this question, and I have chosen this text this morning for several reasons. What kind of lover are we? I'm deeply disturbed to see the amount of hate and hate rhetoric which is being spoken and actually acted upon in our world today and in our nation. It's disturbing to me, but even more disturbing to me is the fact that we are hearing hate rhetoric and hate language that is in the name of God. One of the first verses I ever memorized when I was a little child was John 3:16. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You know, if someone were to ask me, if you were to put up a big billboard somewhere to have a message across the nation, what would it be? And I've thought about that. And I think it would say something like this: in God's name, Please stop hating in the name of God. In the Middle East, we are seeing people beheaded in the name of God. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Topeka, Kansas, and I was doing a workshop there on how to demonstrate God's love in your community and how to be a church that is primarily outward focused in order to demonstrate God's love. Probably not too many of you have heard of Gage Park Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas. But how many of you have heard of Westboro? Yeah. Westboro Baptist Church is only about 4 or 5 blocks away from Gage Park. And Westboro Baptist Church shows up at funerals and at other events and at places where crises have taken place. And they show up not with placards of love, but with placards that say, God, that they allegedly believe God hates. People, the world today, our nation today, our cities, our communities today need to discover what kind of lovers we are. Desperately. My daughter, by the way, is here today. It's good to have her. Ellie is right over here. My youngest son, whom some of you remember because he was only about this big when he was, you know, here. He was born here in St. Paul. He's a senior in high school now. And he's actually in Boston this very weekend looking at schools, thinking about where he's going to go to college. But anyway, Bjorn has shared with me that many of the kids, in fact, most of the kids that he knows in his high school, are atheists. And I've asked him why. And he says, because they are convinced you cannot be a Christian and love. If you are Christian, that means you hate. That's the message which is getting across. We need the type of text that we just read this morning and to learn to live that text out across our churches in the U.S. But the second reason I chose this text this morning is because you're the kind of people who not only talk about love, but you're the kind of people here at First Baptist who live a lifestyle of love. And I want to encourage you today to continue to live that outwardly focused demonstration of God's love by every means that's at your disposal. It was about 20 years ago that my wife and I experienced God's love through you after experiencing a very hateful situation in the name of God. I'm not going to go into the details, but I remember the Sunday we walked into the door over here for the first time, having moved up here to St. Paul, and was greeted by Pastor Bill here, and the first thing he told us is, we're not having worship this Sunday. We're meeting with the Presbyterians over here for a joint service. And our work schedule didn't permit it that Sunday, so we came back the next week. And we discovered your unconditional love and acceptance. It's because of that love that I'm at your American Baptist Home Mission Societies today. Thank you, First Baptist Church. We've experienced it. You know, I have to admit, I haven't always been that kind of lover. I don't know about you, but I've always been a non-lover. Now, I didn't say a hater. I said a non-lover. The difference between a non-lover and a hater is a non-lover doesn't hate. They just don't want to get involved. We just walk by the situation. We just want to live our own lives without taking any kind of risks on behalf of others. I was in college, and a friend of mine had heard that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was going to be in a community not too far away from where we were, and that there was an event in which there was being planned a civil rights demonstration in Chicago, Illinois. And my friend and I went to that conference. And there in the middle of this, Dr. Martin Luther King sitting with other church leaders, there was a debate that rose up. Should the church be involved in civil disobedience? Shouldn't we just be focusing on personal evangelism? And my friend and I were listening to this conversation and said, oh, that's cool. Listen to what's all going on, the arguments that are taking place and everything else. And I remember in the midst of all of that discussion, someone turned to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and he was sitting there towards the front. He wasn't even up on any stage or platform. And he just simply said these words, if you care, you will be there. At the time, I didn't understand. And my friend and I, we didn't show up. But those words have rung in my mind ever since that event back there in my college days. And it's more days ago than I like to even admit to myself. If you care, you will be there. We were non-lovers, and we missed out on a beautiful opportunity, but God spoke to us through one who was. That's the kind of lovers you are. Look at the diversity that is here. You care. You're there. Sometimes, instead of being the type of lover that we read about in 1 Thessalonians, I've been a verbal lover. You know what a verbal lover is? It's easy to say, I love you. You know, you see it in a bumper stickers on back of cars, God loves you, or honk if you love God, you know, that kind of thing. Easy to be a verbal lover. Well, no, you got to remember, my grandfather was a Swedish immigrant. And we used to joke as grandchildren, and we used to say, yeah, I know what happens when grandma and grandpa got married. Grandpa turned to grandma and says, Julia, I love you. And if I ever change my mind, you'll be the first to know. For some people, it's a little hard to say I love you out loud. So turn to somebody who's near you, and if there's nobody near you, just walk over to them and say, I love you. Try it. Practice it. It might be a few other Swedes here today. Okay. I love you. Yeah. So we do need to say it. We need to hear it. But most of all, we need to see it, and we need to continue to act upon it as you have been acting upon it in your lives as this faith community. Those of you who have come from the refugee camps and from Myanmar or Burma, you are here in a nation that desperately needs your love. You not only show it to your own people, but there are many kids in your school of other ethnic groups, other races. God loves them by the demonstration of your love in their lives. We can be more than verbal lovers. You are more than verbal lovers. Wow, you know, that clock says it's only 10 to 5 after 11, so I'm okay. Now we've gone past our hour. There's so much to learn from God's Word about demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ in our lives and through our lives as a faith community. I thank God for you because you have been gentle among us, those who you have received, like a nursing mother with her own children. You have been like a loving father who has encouraged and instructed us at the time that we needed encouragement and instruction. I thank God that your love is genuine and not with a pretense of greed, not just there for your own benefit, but a love which is willing to pay a price, which may even lovers you are. Continue in the power of God's Holy Spirit to demonstrate the love of God by every means that is available to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.